Now the passage will be read again.
It's official that married people are healthier, or at least they think they are. An American survey of over 100,000 people shows that, despite changing social patterns in society, there is a link between being married and being fit. One reason could be that people with physical, mental, or emotional problems are less likely to marry in the first place. But married people also benefit from greater support from family and friends, and this improves their health. Divorce and loss of a close friend or relative increase depression, as well as affecting many people financially. Married people are less likely than single people to smoke, drink heavily, or drive after they have been drinking. They are also more likely to wear seatbelts in a car and install safety devices in their homes. All of these reduce the chances of disease or injury. Single people, by contrast, tend to lead less organized lives, and they take less care of what and when to eat. So it seems that the best advice is get married, but make sure you find the right partner. If you get it wrong, the stress of a divorce could mean your health gets worse than when you were single.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
It's official that married people are healthier, or at least they think they are. An American survey of over 100,000 people shows that, despite changing social patterns in society, there is a link between being married and being fit. One reason could be that people with physical, mental, or emotional problems are less likely to marry in the first place. But married people also benefit from greater support from family and friends, and this improves their health. Divorce and loss of a close friend or relative increase depression, as well as affecting many people financially. Married people are less likely than single people to smoke, drink heavily, or drive after they have been drinking. They are also more likely to wear seat belts in a car and install safety devices in their homes. All of these reduce the chances of disease or injury. Single people, by contrast, tend to lead less organized lives, and they take less care of what and when to eat. So, it seems that the best advice is get married, but make sure you find the right partner. If you get it wrong, the stress of a divorce could mean your health gets worse than when you were single.
This is the end of listening comprehension.
College English Test, Band 4.
Model Test 6.
Part 3. Listening comprehension.
Section A.
Question 11.
What's the matter with Sue?
I don't know. She's not as talkative as before.
What can be inferred about Sue from the conversation?
Question 12. How does your daughter like her new school?
Fine. She seems to have made new friends in no time.
What can be inferred about the woman's daughter?
Question 13. Do you enjoy majoring in mathematics?
Enjoy? If I could choose again, I would study biology.
What do we learn about the man from the conversation? Question 14. Poor Charlie, to be so close to finishing and then not graduate.
If you had known how he had dealt with his schoolwork, you wouldn't feel like that.
What can be inferred about Charlie? Question 15. There is a new chef at the restaurant in the shopping mall.
It remains to be seen whether the new one is any better than the old one.
What does the man mean?
Question 16. I'm sure we've never had such a lot of rain as lately.
Haven't we? Ever?
What do we learn from the woman's response?
Question 17. We are going swimming tomorrow. Would you like to join us?
I'm afraid I can't. Recently, whenever I get into the pool, my right leg aches.
Why can't the man go swimming? Question 18. Mike is the best singer on the campus.
You said it.
What does the man mean?
Now you'll hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
Hi, Diana. Mind if I sit down?
Not at all, Jack. How have you been?
Good, but I'm surprised to see you on the city bus. Your car in the shop?
No, I've just been thinking a lot about the environment lately. So I decided the air will be a lot cleaner if we all use public transportation when we could.
I'm sure you're right. The diesel bus isn't exactly pollution-free.
True, but they'll be running a lot cleaner soon. We were just talking about that in my environmental engineering class.
What's the city going to do? Install pollution filters of some sort on their buses?
They could, but those filters make the engines work harder and really cut down on fuel efficiency. Instead, they found a way to make their engines more efficient.
How?
Well, there is a material called conine oxide. It's a really good insulator. And a thick coat of it gets sprayed on certain parts of the engine.
An insulator?
Well, yeah. Actually, what it does is reflect back the heat of burning fuel. So the fuel will burn much hotter and burn up more completely.
So a lot less unburned fuel comes out to pollute the air, right?
Yeah. And the bus will need less fuel. So with the savings on fuel oil costs, they say this will all pay for itself in just 6 months.
Sounds like people should all go out and get some of this stuff to spray on their car engines.
Well, it's not really that easy. You see, normally the materials are fine powder. To melt it so you can spray a coat of it on the engine parts, you first have to heat it over 10,000 degrees, and then, well, you get the idea. It's not something you or I would be able to do ourselves.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What is the conversation mainly about? Question 20. Why did the woman decide to ride the city bus? Question 21. What is conine oxide? Question 22. According to the woman, what may limit the use of conine oxide in cars?
Conversation 2.
Hi, Janet. Going to the football game today?
No, I'm planning to watch it on television.
Why is that? Don't you have enough money to last till the end of the month?
Money's not the problem. I find it easier to follow football on television than in the stadium. When I see the game in person, I feel as if I'm too far away from the action, and I always lose track of the ball.
I know just what you mean. Besides, on television, the new cameras they use give you super views of all the plays. But there's always so much excitement. People are cheering and shouting when you're there in person. People are very enthusiastic. And I end up cheering along with everyone.
You're right there. But I'd like to know exactly what I'm screaming for. And if I can't even see who has the ball, I can't get very excited. So I really prefer watching it on television.
I see your point. Well, enjoy the game.
You too.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 23. What is the main topic of the conversation? Question 24. What does the man assume when the woman says she is not going? Question 25. What is the man apparently planning to do?
Section B.
Passage 1.
Millions of people in the world like collecting stamps. Any mistake made in the printing of a stamp will raise its value to stamp collectors. A mistake on one inexpensive postage stamp has also made the stamp worth 1.5 million times its original value. One such mistake was made more than 100 years ago in the British colony of Mauritius, a small island in the Indian Ocean. In 1847, an order for stamps was sent to a London printer. At that time, Mauritius was to become the fourth country in the world to issue stamps. Before the order was filled and delivered, a ball was planned at Mauritius Government House, and stamps were needed to send out the invitations. A local printer was instructed to copy the design for the stamps. He accidentally inscribed the words "post office" instead of "post paid" on the several hundred stamps that he printed. Today, there are only 26 of these misprinted stamps left. 14 one-penny orange reds and 12 two-penny blues. Because of the two-penny blues' rareness and age, it has been so expensive that collectors have paid as much as $16,800 for it.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. What do we know about Mauritius? Question 27. On what part of the stamps did the printer make a mistake? Question 28. Why is a stamp worth 1.5 million times its original value?
Passage 2.
Through a large amount of research, many American doctors have drawn the conclusion that mothers who smoke cigarettes before their babies are born may slow the growth of their baby's lungs. They say reduced lung growth could cause the babies to suffer breathing problems and lung disease in their later life. John Haler and William Liberty, doctors in Boston, Massachusetts, studied about 1,100 children to look into the effects that mothers smoking had on their children. The mothers of some of the children smoked, the other mothers did not. The report indicated that the growth of babies' lungs was indeed affected by secondhand smoking. Doctors found that the lungs of the children whose mothers smoked were 8% less developed than the lungs of the children whose mothers did not smoke, and that the children whose mothers smoked developed 20% more colds and breathing diseases than other children in their later life. Another recent study found that children had a greater chance of developing lung cancer if their mothers smoked. The study also showed that the danger of lung cancer increased only for sons and not for daughters, and that the father's smoking did not affect a child's chance of developing lung cancer. Why it goes like that is still not known.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. Why did John Haler and William Liberty, doctors in Boston, study 1,100 children? Question 30. Suppose John's father was a heavy smoker and so was Mary's mother. According to this passage, what will happen? Question 31. What is the purpose of this passage?
Passage 3.
Mark Twain, who wrote the story we're reading, traveled quite a lot, often because circumstances, usually financial circumstances, forced him to. He was born in Florida, Missouri in 1835. And moved to Hannibal, Missouri with his family when he was about 4 years old. Most people think he was born in Hannibal, but that isn't true. After his father died when he was about 12, Twain worked in Hannibal for a while and then left so he could earn more money. He worked for a while as a typesetter on various newspapers and then got a job as a river pilot on the Mississippi. Twain loved this job, and many of his books show it. The river job didn't last, however, because of the outbreak of the Civil War. Twain was in the army for just 2 weeks, and then he and his whole company went west to get away from the war and the army. In Nevada and California, Twain tried to find silver and gold without much luck, but did succeed as a writer. Once that happened, Twain traveled around the country giving lectures and earning enough money to go to Europe. Twain didn't travel much during the last 10 years of his life, and he didn't publish much either. Somehow his travels inspired his writing. Like many other popular writers, Twain derived much of the materials for his writing from the wealth of his own personal experiences.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. On which aspect of Mark Twain's life does the speaker focus? Question 33. Where do most people think Mark Twain was born? Question 34. What job did Twain especially love? Question 35. What connections does the speaker suggest between Twain's travels and his writing?
Section C. Now listen to the passage.
In today's America, more and more educators have realized that computer ability is absolutely necessary for college students. Many even argue that each incoming freshman should have his or her own computer. What advantages do computers offer the college students? Some students will say that one appealing reason for using a computer is to write papers. Although not all students feel comfortable typing a word and deleting it just by pressing a few keys, computers are really deleting for us. Furthermore, since the revision process is less of a burden, some students are more likely to revise as much as possible. For these reasons, many freshman English courses in the USA require students to use computers to do homework. Science students take advantage of computers in many ways. Using computer graphics capabilities, for example, medical students can learn to interpret computerized images of internal body structures. And physics students can complete complex calculations far more quickly than they could without using computers. Similarly, business and accounting students find that computer spreadsheet programs are necessary for many aspects of their work, while students pursuing careers in graphic arts, marketing, and public relations find that knowledge of computer graphics is important. Education majors learn to develop grading systems by using computers, and social science students use computers for analyzing and displaying their research results. It is no wonder that computers will be used in more fields and help students learn more in a shorter time.
Now the passage will be read again.
In today's America, more and more educators have realized that computer ability is absolutely necessary for college students. Many even argue that each incoming freshman should have his or her own computer. What advantages do computers offer the college students? Some students will say that one appealing reason for using a computer is to write papers. Although not all students feel comfortable typing a word and deleting it just by pressing a few keys, computers are really deleting for us. Furthermore, since the revision process is less of a burden, some students are more likely to revise as much as possible. For these reasons, many freshman English courses in the USA require students to use computers to do homework. Science students take advantage of computers in many ways. Using computer graphics capabilities, for example, medical students can learn to interpret computerized images of internal body structures. And physics students can complete complex calculations far more quickly than they could without using computers. Similarly, business and accounting students find that computer spreadsheet programs are necessary for many aspects of their work, while students pursuing careers in graphic arts, marketing, and public relations find that knowledge of computer graphics is important. Education majors learn to develop grading systems by using computers, and social science students use computers for analyzing and displaying their research results. It is no wonder that computers will be used in more fields and help students learn more in a shorter time.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
In today's America, more and more educators have realized that computer ability is absolutely necessary for college students. Many even argue that each incoming freshman should have his or her own computer. What advantages do computers offer the college students? Some students will say that one appealing reason for using a computer is to write papers. Although not all students feel comfortable typing a word and deleting it just by pressing a few keys, computers are really deleting for us. Furthermore, since the revision process is less of a burden, some students are more likely to revise as much as possible. For these reasons, many freshman English courses in the USA require students to use computers to do homework. Science students take advantage of computers in many ways. Using computer graphics capabilities, for example, medical students can learn to interpret computerized images of internal body structures, and physics students can complete complex calculations far more quickly than they could without using computers. Similarly, business and accounting students find that computer spreadsheet programs are necessary for many aspects of their work, while students pursuing careers in graphic arts, marketing, and public relations find that knowledge of computer graphics is important. Education majors learn to develop grading systems by using computers, and social science students use computers for analyzing and displaying their research results. It is no wonder that computers will be used in more fields and help students learn more in a shorter time.
This is the end of listening comprehension.
College English Test, Band 4.
Model Test 7.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A.
Question 11.
You didn't have too much trouble doing that experiment, did you?
It only took me most of the day.
What does the man mean? Question 12. I went to a concert last night. They played beautifully. Do you like classical music?
I like classical music, but not as much as jazz.
What did the man say about classical music? Question 13. Would you mind helping me with this load of books?
Of course not.
What does the man mean?
Question 14. I've had it with all these same people coming online to ask the same questions. There's no originality.
Well, if it'll help, I'll give you the address of a website for a better chat line.
What does the woman mean?
Question 15. How do the Jones like their new apartment?
It's very comfortable, but they miss the beautiful garden in their old house.
How do the Jones feel about their new apartment? Question 16. Jeff has not been on good terms with his sister for the last few years, but I hear he visited her on his trip to California recently.
Yes, he hadn't planned to call on her, but he changed his mind at the last minute.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 17. You usually dine at this cafe, don't you? How is the food here?
It's usually good, but last night it was awful.
How is the food at the cafeteria? Question 18. Could I hand in my paper a few days later?
I'm afraid that's out of the question.
What does the man mean?
Now you'll hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1. I enjoy going through second-hand bookstores, don't you? It's interesting to see what people used to enjoy reading. Did you see this old book of children's stories?
Some of these books aren't so old, though, see? This mystery was published only 6 years ago. It cost 75 cents. You can't beat that.
Hey, look at this.
What? Are you getting interested in 19th century poetry all of a sudden?
No. Look here. Someone gave this book as a present and wrote a note on the inside of the front cover. It's dated 1893. Maybe it's worth something.
Everything on that shelf is worth 50 cents.
But if this is the signature of someone who is well known, it might bring a lot more. I hear Shakespeare's signature is worth about $1 million.
Oh? I can hardly read what that one says. Who wrote it?
The name looks like Harold Dobson. Maybe Dobbins? Wasn't he a politician or something? I'm going to buy this book and see if I can find a name like that in the library.
Good luck. Your poetry book may make you rich, but I'll bet my 75-cent mystery is a good buy.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. Where is the conversation taking place? Question 20. What kind of book did the man find? Question 21. Why does the woman mention Shakespeare? Question 22. What does the woman intend to do later on?
Conversation 2.
Hello?
Hello. I'm calling about the apartment that was advertised in the newspaper this morning. Is it still available?
There were two, a three-bedroom and a two-bedroom, but the larger one has been rented.
Oh, that's okay. I was only interested in the two-bedroom. Can you tell me what it's like?
Well, it is quite big and has sun most of the day. It's really good. It also has a kitchen and there's plenty of closet space.
Sounds good. The ad said the rent was $525 a month. Does that include heat and water?
No, lodgers have to pay themselves.
I see. And what about parking?
That's no problem at all. Each lodger is assigned a particular space, and that space is theirs as long as they stay in the apartment.
Great. Given how rents are these days, this seems to be too good to be true.
Listen, why don't you come over tomorrow and see for yourself? Call me. I'll be in all morning.
Fine. See you then.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 23. What does the woman say about the two-bedroom apartment? Question 24. What does the woman say about parking? Question 25. What is the man's reaction to the apartment?
Section B.
Passage 1.
The internet has led to a huge increase in credit card fraud. Your card information could even be for sale on an illegal website. Websites offering cheap goods and services should be regarded with care. Online shoppers who enter their credit card information may never receive the goods they thought they bought. The thieves then go shopping with your credit card number or sell the information over the internet. Computer hackers have broken down security systems, raising questions about the safety of cardholder information. Several months ago, 25,000 customers of CD Universe, an online music retailer, were not lucky. Their names, addresses, and credit card numbers were posted on a website after the retailer refused to pay $157,828 to get back the information. Credit card firms are now fighting against online fraud. MasterCard is working on plans for a web-only credit card with a lower credit limit. The card could be used only for shopping online. However, there are a few simple steps you can take to keep from being cheated. Ask about your credit card company's online rules. Under British law, cardholders have to pay the first $78 of any fraudulent spending. Send your credit card information only if the website offers an advanced security system. If in doubt, give your credit card information over the telephone.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. What do most people worry about on the internet according to this passage? Question 27. How can thieves get credit card information? Question 28. What could you do if you doubt the online security of sending credit card information?